A Linguistic Approach to Revelation chapter 19 verses 11 through chapter 20 verse 6 and the Millennium Binding of Satan. Alan E. Kirshner, Brill, 2022, 248 pages. A Brief Book Summary from Books at a Glance by Benjamin J. Montoya, PhD. About the author, Alan E. Kirshner, PhD, McMaster Divinity College, is an instructor of Greek at the Center for Learning Biblical Greek. Introduction. In biblical and theological studies, there are age-old debates about how to understand certain biblical passages. In the book of Revelation, there remains a debate surrounding the millennium binding of Satan and the vindication of the saints in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, and its relationship to the victorious battle of Jesus in 19:11 through 21. Instead of using the same methods used previously, come to the same conclusions, Alan E. Kirshner employs a linguistic framework known as Systemic Functional Linguistics, or SFL, to argue these events are cohesively linked. Table of Contents. Chapter 1, Approaches to the Millennium Binding of Satan. Chapter 2, A Model of Koine Greek Discourse Analysis. Chapter 3, Cohesive Harmony, Cohesive Ties and Chains. Chapter 4, Cohesive Harmony, Chain Interactions. Chapter 5, Information Flow, Clauses, Sentences, Paragraphs, and Sections. Chapter 6, Information Flow, Discourse of the Book of Revelation. Chapter 7, Conclusion. Appendix 1, Historical Shifts in the Millennial Debate. Appendix 2, The Identity of Those Seated on Thrones in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Summary. Chapter 1, Approaches to the Millennium Binding of Satan. There remain certain discernible approaches to the Millennium Binding of Satan. Sequential frameworks, or the historical temporal approaches, non-sequential frameworks, other non-traditional proposals that do not employ a temporal framework. Three other key theological terms are tied to how to understand these larger three approaches. Those three are premillennialism, postmillennialism, and amillennialism. Both premill and postmill are sequential frameworks, whereas amillennialism is a non-sequential framework. Other non-traditional approaches include those from historical and social scientific criticism, literary criticism, theology, and ethics. To make a unique contribution to this larger academic discussion, this study will employ a different methodology, that of robust linguistic methodology rooted in modern linguistics. The thesis of this monograph is as follows. This study proposes that chapter 19, 11 through 21, and chapter 20, 1 through 6, are cohesively linked with each other. While cohesion and coherence do not in and of itself demonstrate sequence, the analysis demonstrates that there is no cohesive break at 20 verse 1. Instead, the analysis indicates a continuous semantic environment between 19:11 through 21 and 20:1 through 6. If this is correct, then it strongly implies that the millennium binding of Satan and the vindication of the saints are consequent events from the battle in Revelation 19. Chapter 2, A Model of Koine Greek Discourse Analysis. Before diving into the linguistics section of this monograph, it is worth highlighting modern linguistics in contrast to traditional grammar, the approach most often assumed when considering the biblical languages. For hundreds of years now, biblical and theological studies have both employed a wide variety of methodologies to understand the biblical text. But when it has come to applying insights from modern linguistics to biblical and theological studies, that has been met with a high level of resistance. This monograph seeks to demonstrate the exegetical and theological relevance of coming up to speed on modern linguistics to the point of being able to apply a framework and its various tools to questions within biblical and theological studies. These approaches are distinct ways of understanding how language works and how to understand the very language we seek to interpret. Part of the difficulty is that all modern linguistics is just as a diverse field as biblical and theological studies, divided into all kinds of different topics, specialties. Modern linguistics is just as complex as any other branch of study within universities. This approach provides a more comprehensive approach and methodological study of the most recent research into language consistent with modern linguistic theory. For more, Benjamin J. Montoya, A Paradigm Change from Traditional Grammar to Modern Linguistic Theory, PhD dissertation. This method, advanced in this monograph, utilizes at least the five following larger tenets: the foundational linguistic principles of modern linguistics, how modern linguistics have contributed in general to advances in the study of Koine Greek, the development of the field of discourse analysis, principles of the theoretical framework of SFL, the specific methodology on cohesion realized through two types of textual meanings, cohesive harmony analysis and information flow analysis. This monograph will employ systemic functional linguistics as its robust linguistic framework. This view of language understands language as doing something, realizing meaning not just grammar, as may traditionally be conceived. Thus, meanings are realized through wordings, and the theory behind those wordings comes as conceiving language and a text as both a product and process. Instead of viewing text as having a single meaning, systemic functional linguistics recognizes levels of meaning in the text through the text's various metafunctions. The ideational meaning of language represents experience, its meaning as the expression of some kind of a process, some event, action, state, or other phenomenal aspect of the real world to which it bears some kind of symbolic relation. Experiential meaning of language represents the goings-on of the real world. The interpersonal meaning of language is concerned with the function of social interaction, of enacting relationships and appraising attitudes. It is a mode of doing, whereas in an experiential meaning, language is a way of reflecting. In its interpersonal meaning, language is a way of acting. Language as reflection and language as action. The third metafunction, textual meaning, is the main function that I am focused on in this study. It is concerned with relating the experiential and interpersonal meanings from the situational context by organizing, that is, encoding them into a text. Cohesion is a fundamental resource that enables textual meaning through non-structural relations, a notion that will be developed below. The metafunctions, then, should not be thought of as functioning in a vacuum. They are overlays that should not be that compose the multifunctional process of language. These aspects of meanings are simultaneously present in a text, even though they are analyzed one feature at a time. These metafunctions are realized in the lexical grammar of the text. Sometimes when people study language, they begin with the words and grammar of the sentence to build up to a meaning, but in this instance, the approach recognizes that meaning is embedded in how it is written. For our purposes, cohesion is realized in the text via cohesive chains. Cohesion refers to devices that writers use to signal experiential and interpersonal elements of the text, whereas the notion of coherence is in the mind of the writer and reader. Coherence is the level where the text makes sense to the reader. To recognize cohesive harmony in the text, readers pick up on cohesive ties and chains. It is this recognition that will be essential to the study presented in this monograph. To discern meaning in a text, information flow analysis will remain key, seeing how meaning has been instantiated into clauses, sentences, paragraphs, sections, and the larger discourse level of the text. It is undoubtedly to be recognized that this chapter presents a lot to digest, especially if modern linguistics is a newer topic. However, as each chapter begins to apply this linguistic framework to the biblical text and then highlight this analysis to the larger topic of this book, then the importance of coming up to speed on modern linguistics will hopefully be made clearer. Chapter 3, Cohesive Harmony, Cohesive Ties and Chains. Part of analyzing a discourse within the linguistic framework of systemic functional linguistics involves considering the cohesive ties and chains within the text itself. This discussion stems from Halliday's and Ruqayya Hasan's work, Cohesion in English. To utilize Hasan's work, however, some adaptations need to be made given to the Greek verbs grammaticalize and code subjects into the same work, used as a verb, elabon, they had not received, chapter 20, verse 4. Within Revelation 19, 11 through 20, verse 6, there are several compunctional ties and cohesive chains. Specifically, there are 300 total tokens and a total of 56 cohesive chains, considering both identity and similarity chains. There remain several overall chain headings identified in this section. Christ, I see, judgment, SC, the armies and kings of the beast, IC, John, IC, realms, SC, sensory states, SC, priestly and purity, SC, movement, SC, nations, IC, God, IC, the beast, IC, to be, exist, happen, SC, to deceive, SC, to have, SC, to receive, SC, the mark, IC, to worship, SC, the image, IC, physiological processes and states, SC, and features of objects, SC. To go one step further than Hassan's work, it is also important to consider how these cohesive chains interact with each other and to what degree. Of significance, particularly, is related to a larger point being made in this monograph, such that the interpreter then has no other signal than to reasonably infer that the occasion of Satan's punishment is the same occasion for the punishment of the beast and false prophet. Chapter 4, Cohesive Harmony, Chain Interactions. To understand chain interactions and their relationship to the theory of cohesion, some consideration of Hassan's notions of cohesion are essential. For chain interactions to be operative, a minimum of two members or more from a chain stand in the same grammatical relation, group, or clause, to two or more members of another chain. The result of the cohesive analysis is at least twofold. While establishing cohesion and coherence does not demonstrate a sequence in itself, it does establish negatively, first, that there is no cohesive break at 20 verse 1 for a new semantic environment, and positively, second, it signals a continuous semantic environment between 1911 through 21 and 21 through 6, which indicates that the millennial binding of Satan and the vindication of the saints are consequent effects from the battle in chapter 19. Thus, Revelation 19:11 through 20 verse 6 depicts Christ as a righteous judge and warrior who will mete out punishment against his three main adversaries, the beast, false prophet, and Satan, in addition to the armies of the nations, as a result of his victory at the eschatological battle. The other result of Christ's victory is that the people of God, who were faithful to him, even up to a martyr's death, will be rewarded with resurrected life and co-reign with Christ in the new age. John intends for there to be a semantic thread of continuity between these sections, and the ratio measurements reveal a cohesive harmony between 19:11 through 20 verse 6. Thus, this linguistic analysis of chain interactions provides a new way to highlight the continuity of these texts that strengthens conclusions interpreters can make regarding the text itself. Chapter 5, Information Flow, Clauses, Sentences, Paragraphs, and Sections. To further the discourse analysis within systemic functional linguistics, it is necessary to consider information flow. This part of the discourse analysis considers discourse thematization and prominence of the narrative. Second, this step also involves considering the theme and ream of the sentence level and its participant involvement. The theme is the change of participant as the actor in a process chain, where a process chain is a string of one or more verbal groups that have the same actor or subject. The ream is the additional process information for the current actor, that is, it involves the extension of the current process chain. Third, there remains clear features of rank of paragraph and section, including boundary markers. Fourth, the topicality of the target text remains crucial. Finally, there are linguistic features that signal prominence in the event of the binding of Satan in 21 through 3. Chapter 6, Information Flow, Discourse of the Book of Revelation. Within the larger information flow of the discourse of the Book of Revelation, John presents his readers with the three adversaries functioning as a cohesive unit. This conclusion can be made from considering the cohesive ties between units of the three adversaries of God by comparing 20 verses 7 through 10, chapters 12 through 13, 16 verses 12 through 17, with 19:11 through 20 verse 6. Information matters, particularly for exegesis, because it is a tool that analyzes a further dimension of cohesion concerned with thematization and prominence of lexical grammatical resources in the ranks of clause, sentence, paragraph, section, and the broader co-text of the discourse in the Book of Revelation. An example of the end result of this analysis can be seen in part of Table 35 from the monograph. Thus begins a copy of a table, number 35, from the book, Thematic Participants and Processes in 1911 through 20 verse 6. It indicates 1911 through 20 verse 6, the thematic participant and the process. So for 1911 through 13, the thematic participant is the one who sits on the white horse. The process is seen as heaven opened, judges, goes to war. His eyes are like fiery flame. His head has many crowns, a name written no one knows except him, clothed with a robe dipped in blood, called the Word of God. 1914 through 15a, the thematic participant is the armies of heaven. The processes are dressed in white, clean linen, following him. A sharp sword from his mouth strikes the nations. 1915b through 19, the thematic participant is the one who sits on the white horse, reintroduced. Rules them, stomps them, has a name written on his thigh. An angel shouts to birds, summons birds, invites birds to eat the flesh of the dead. The beast, kings of the earth, and their armies make war. Chapter 7, Conclusion. Cohesiveness makes a contribution to the semantic environment of the text under consideration, because it shows that John intended for this section of Revelation to be read as a continuous cohesive message. For too long, interpreters have been tempted to tally up words in a concordance and then claim, here is the focus of the text. This linguistic analysis instead allows interpreters to make use of the most recent insights into language study consistent with modern linguistic theory to help argue that the grammatical and lexical textual meanings stretch across these sections of John's Revelation instead of being seen as distinct sections, even if just because of a chapter break. The overall conclusion of the monograph is as follows. Through analyzing the lexical grammatical resources that John had available to him in his Koine Greek language, it is concluded that the visions in 1911 through 20 verse 6 that John received should be read as a continuous cohesive message. It is my hope that this proposal will stimulate more linguistic research on the meaning of Revelation 1911 through 20 verse 6 in its broader context. Copyright 2024, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.